This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
It's the Larry Kudlow Show. Free market prosperity starts here. Now, here's Larry Kudlow.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. Great pleasure to be with you. We're going to do some money politics, as we always do. We have our first A-team, Liz Peek, Fox News contributor, syndicated columnist, and Steve Moore, FreedomWorks and Committee to Unleash Prosperity, and his book, Govzilla, How the Relentless Growth of Government is Devouring Our Economy and Our Freedom. So, welcome to both of you. And I want to talk about a couple of slightly offbeat things. But the first thing I want to talk about is Bono. Bono, famous musician, songwriter, singer, global following. And I'm going to read the tweet. Let's see. This is actually a tweet about Bono. I saw it in the Committee to Unleash Prosperity, if I get this right. Anyway, quote, "I thought if we just redistributed resources, then we could solve every problem. I now know that's not true. The off-ramp out of extreme poverty is commerce. It's entrepreneurial capitalism." And Bono is a great philanthropist, but I think he's learned that free market capitalism is better than picking various areas or spending your own money. I mean, Steve Moore, this guy's a global figure, and he comes out for free market capitalism. And I don't know what that means, but what do you think that means? It's got to be a good thing someplace in this.
No, it's a great thing. And, you know, I'm a big admirer of Bono. He's done an amazing charitable work over the last 20 years with the hundreds of millions of dollars that he's made as one of the top musicians in the world. But you can only get so far with charity, you know. And what's the old saying? I don't know if this is from the Bible or what, but, you know, if you give a man a fish, he eats for a day. If you teach a man to fish, he eats for a lifetime. And, you know, that's what free market capitalism is. It's teaching people to fish and, you know, start businesses and employ people. So, yeah, no, it's beautiful. And it, as I said on your TV show the other day, this is the Kudlow Creed. You know, the best path to prosperity is free market capitalism. And who would have thought Bono would get that? By the way, he's been, of course, criticized by the left for saying that.
But, yeah, I mean, Liz, but that's a tough one. You can't really attack Bono, can you? I mean,
no.
It's really like attacking City Hall. So the left is going to have a problem with this.
Well, I think it's like attacking Gandhi or something, right? I mean, to the left, he's constantly out there espousing all the causes that they like. Now, if he could just put this to music, Larry, then we really have something, right?
Yes.
What we need is a trending, you know, CD with his name on it that has this mantra. But look, it's Margaret Thatcher. Eventually, you run out of other people's money. Somewhere, you have to create money to be distributed to people who don't have enough, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea that corporations are evil because they make profits, which is kind of what you're hearing about oil companies right now, and all the rest that the left kind of hates about free market capitalism, they don't kind of have an answer for where is the money going to come from for the truly needy and unfortunate amongst us if indeed those profits don't exist. There is no answer. So, you know, good for him for actually saying this, because to Steve's point, he'll be crucified for it and already has been.
I think, though, you know, every time Biden goes out there, I love Biden's closing arguments in the election. It's mega, 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 trickle down.
What does it even mean, honestly?
mega,
stupid.
So, I, you know, what Kevin McCarthy should just say is Bono. It's just Bono. Yeah. What are you going to do with Bono? Bono's supposed to be some lefty, democratic-leaning, Green New Deal figure, and he's talking about free market capitalism. I mean, the culture of that is almost mind-boggling. That's why I love this so much. And by the way, Steve Moore, you're exactly right. Teach them to fish. That's a key thing. I don't know whether Old Testament. It sounds kind of Old Testament-y. I have to ask. Right. My wife, Judy, knows about the Bible. I don't know anything about the Bible. Now, the other character that I want to talk about, perhaps more to the point, is Elon Musk, who took over Twitter and fired everybody. In fact, there's a great picture of him walking in the headquarters with a kitchen sink. He's a very clever guy, this Elon Musk. Now, this is a big deal. This is a free speech big deal, Steve Moore and Liz Peek. I mean, I think this is very profound. I think it's going to affect all of social media. And it's going to affect, I think, all media. It's going to affect CNN. It's going to affect MSNBC. It's going to affect all the news networks. This guy is pushing free speech. He's going to completely change Twitter. And I want to get your thoughts on this, because I see this as a very profound development. Go ahead, Steve. You first.
Look, I'm really happy with this outcome. I use Twitter. I think you use Twitter. And
used to.
I know you do. We
used
tweet.
To.
Look, I'm against the government intervening these, and that maybe puts me at odds with some conservatives who say, you know, let's regulate Google, let's regulate Facebook. No, you know, let the market work. And I think this is a private entrepreneur who's highly successful, said, hey, I can run this company better. Mm-hmm. It's not just about free speech. He thinks he can make more money at it doing it this way and attracting a much wider audience. When you have, you know, how do you kick off of your platform the biggest the guy who generates the most business for you? And that's what they did when they kicked off, you know, Donald Trump. So I applaud this. I think Elon Musk is exactly right. And by the way, you're so right, too. He's an incredible master marketer in the way he's carried this off.
But he's also a brilliant person. Mm. He is a brilliant person. People kind of dismiss him as a kook. Well, you don't create SpaceX, which is doing more for our space program than the government is at this point, if you're a kook. You don't create the Boring Company, which is one of the more innovative, real hands-on solutions-driven company I've ever seen. This guy and Tesla, I mean, come on, he made electric vehicles actually a real thing. So I think he's an enormously talented, and he is kooky. There's no question about it. He has a little sometimes puerile sense of humor. Okay, that's fine. I don't care. I'm very excited about this, but Larry, the really astonishing thing to me, and I cannot get over it, is the reaction of people on the left who you would think really feel that this is the beginning of the end of civilization. People like Robert Wright, who used to have on your program all the time, if I'm not mistaken, who came out in this horrified, oh my gosh, a billionaire taking over a social media platform. Who does he think runs Google and Facebook? Right. I mean, come on. This is ridiculous. The left is so over the top, incensed about it. It really tells you everything you need to know about what their values are and what they really think is freedom. It constitutes freedom and a free society.
If Elon Musk succeeds in making Twitter a free speech platform, and if it infiltrates, I mean, look, Facebook, for example, is losing its shirt. Their stock is crashing and so forth. And all these places, Google, I mean, it is the end of leftist civilization. They're right. The lefties are right. This is a sword stuck in their heart, in their guts. Elon, it's just like Bono. These are guys, they're offbeat guys, they're not button-down guys, they're not corporate guys, they're not Republicans, etc. They're doing things, and they're saying to the left, you are wrong. You are completely wrong. And I think this is a profound, you know, it's political, but it's almost a cultural issue. That's how deep this is going to run.
Well, if I could just say one thing, I think that people tend to forget right now, because Trump's not in office, the whole cancel culture that really became really horrifying. I mean, if you and also there were two things that got you banned from social media. One was saying anything good about Donald Trump, certainly. But the other thing, which I think is inexcusable, was not being able to discuss, even if you were a doctor or a scientist, different therapies, different approaches to COVID. Mm. That was a brand new virus. No one knew what to do about it. The idea that Twitter and Facebook and Google would throw you off their platforms if you challenged any of the COVID orthodoxy, those people yeah. should be put in jail, because I am quite sure they killed people. Mm. I mean, and I'm not an extreme person, but when you batten down and dismiss alternative ideas about remedies and so forth for a brand new disease, what kind of arrogance and stupidity is that? That I can never get over.
And Steve,
yeah, and it's also a stupidity as a business model too. I mean, look,
yeah,
I do believe, like, Google built it, they should be able to do what they want. I don't buy this idea that Google is some kind of public utility. I hate that idea. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think the market is correcting all of this, because I think what Elon Musk realized is, like, wait a minute. You at Twitter have basically attacked half of your audience, mm. you know, by going after any yeah. issue or any idea on the right. And so I think that this is going to allow the market to work. And I think you're going to see Twitter, you know, flourish under Elon Musk.
And
I hope these other platforms realize that this idea that you're going to attack anyone who's got a conservative Republican viewpoint is bad business. It's not just a freedom of speech issue. It's just, it's stupid to insult half of your customers.
Yeah, it is bad business. Don't forget, politically, we have pretty good evidence that the Biden administration worked hard on these social media companies
yeah.
To do, for example, what Liz said, to keep out alternative yeah. COVID theories yeah. and remedies, but also to keep out alternative anything. Mm-hmm. And so here's Twitter, a new Twitter, which is, I presume, will be restructured, totally free speech. You want to put some whacked out thing on the left? Fine. You want to put some whacked out thing on the right? Fine. But you can't stop it. You can't even, you can't have misinformation czars. It is what it is. It's a free country with free speech. This undermines this, you know, Washington influencing that they've tried so hard to do. I mean, I think this is very important.
Well, there is, I mean, Musk has talked about having a panel to review content. I'm sure you saw that. Mm. And I think some on the right are pretty alarmed that this could kind of lead to some suppression of conspiracy theories or theories that other people don't agree with or whatever. I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see who he puts on that panel and how much judgment they really exert control on the platform. You know, wait and see. I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
I've got to say that this misinformation idea the left keeps pushing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God, the New York Times, half of everything they print is misinformation.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, so
everything Biden says is misinformation.
Exactly.
By the way, they should put Bono on the panel.
And they should.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about HR1 and S1 permitting as the Republicans' first priority when they take over the Congress January 3rd. I'm Larry Kudlow. We're here with Liz Peek and Steve Moore. We'll be right back.
Now back to the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We're here with Liz Peek, Fox News contributor, syndicated columnist, and Steve Moore, Freedom Works and Unleash Prosperity, and the book Godzilla. We're talking money and politics. Now, kids, there's a lot of talk that Republicans are going to sweep, and the first thing they're going to go for, I mean, they have a lot of work to do, obviously, but probably increasingly there's talk about what's being called HR1 and S1, which would be a bill that would unleash the production of fossil fuels, which permeate every part of life, which would deal with inflation and recession. It would reduce inflation. It would wouldn't remedy recession, but it would sure help promote some growth. And they're going to do it through some kind of permitting bill, which would be law, would overtake the regulations of the Biden administration. It may be Shelley Moore Capito, but there's a lot of different mixes in there. But the point is, that's where they want to go first. And I want you guys to weigh in on this, Steve Moore. I happen to like this a lot. They have much to do, but I think this would be a very good first start. And I want to add, just on this point, unleashing fossil fuel production, you know, it affects every aspect of everyday life. This is what the greenies forget about, John Kerry and all the rest of them, Joe Biden. Everything is affected by fossil fuels. You know, food, for example, and fertilizer, and in operating rooms, and in golf balls and tennis rackets. I mean, there's almost no end to it. There's not enough of it. Everybody knows that. So, what do you think about H.R. 1 and S. 1, some kind of permitting bill?
I love it. And, you know, the polling, by the way, shows if you, like, rank the top, you know, 20 issues, it's like the economy, it's the border, it's inflation, it's crime. And then you go, way down the list, and there's climate change, way down there. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, you know, very, very, very rich white liberals who care about climate change more than all these issues that we call the kind of kitchen table issues that are affecting most Americans every day. So, yes, I agree with everything you said. Look, we have, I'll repeat these numbers. We have 500, don't forget coal, Larry. Forget coal. We have 500 years with the coal. We have the cleanest coal in the world. China's building 40 massive coal plants. We have cleaner coal than they do, so let's produce our own coal, obviously natural gas, obviously oil. I want to include nuclear power plants in that equation. And this is not just – just to add something, two things to what you said. Number one, it is also a jobs issue,
mm-hmm.
and that's why Fetterman is just getting hammered, mm-hmm. hammered in Pennsylvania for being against shale. We shouldn't reuse the word fracking, by the way. It's shale, oil, and gas. That's what it is. I mean, it's shale, oil, and gas, and we have 500 years worth of coal, 350 years worth of natural gas, and 250 years worth of oil with existing technology. But one other quick thing, it is also an incredibly important national security issue as well.
Right.
I was just going to raise that. I think what has really emerged during this last year, and I think Americans are finally waking up to the idea that this is indeed a national security issue. And if you don't believe it, look at what's happening with Germany and other EU countries who are caught not only short, not only dealing with enormous spikes in energy costs and so forth, but their very existence, their very NATO alliance, everything else is on the line. Why? Because they allowed themselves to be dependent on the wrong people for energy. And for us to be even slightly squashing our own energy potential is so absurd. I really think this is sort of the pivotal issue in this election, because what is driving inflation more than energy costs? As you say, Larry, energy and plastics and fertilizers, all those things related affect everything we eat, we sleep on, everything we drive, and so forth. It really impacts people's lives. So
clothing.
If inflation is the number one issue, really it's energy is the number one issue.
I mean, you got clothing, coffee makers, cold cream, combs, computer keyboard. I'm just looking at a list. There's like 150 things. By the way, we have 500 years of coal or whatever you said. Here's one for you. We have 2 weeks of diesel fuel.
I saw that.
All right.
By the way,
two weeks.
My car takes diesel. My wife is like, you better go get a fill up today.
I'm telling you. 2 weeks. You have this potential shutdown. That thing Newt sent around. But John Catsimatidis has been talking about this for a while. There's no diesel fuel.
Yeah. And by the way, people have to know that almost all of the trucks on the road use diesel.
Right. So what does that tell you about supply chains and inflation? I mean, really, these dopes in Washington do not understand this.
It tells me that we have people in charge who are incompetent. And I think that's, thankfully, I think the country is increasingly aware of that. Even in blue cities and states, the hope is, frankly, a lot of people just don't show up in the midterms because they're just over kind of the people in charge. It's not like they love Republicans, but they are really not happy with the status quo, and they're sure not going to vote for them again. Boy, fingers crossed that really produces the kind of surge election. By the way, you guys and Steve, you have been so right about how this election momentum can be generated just weeks from voting day. It's amazing to me to see how quickly things can kind of turn around.
By the way, Kamala Harris standing in front of a diesel-powered school bus blaming lower test scores on diesel fuel. All right? Is that the stupidest, even for her, is that the stupidest thing you've ever heard? These kids have been riding in diesel buses for decades, and they had higher test scores. And she's blaming global warming? Really?
I must say, the more you see of Kamala Harris, the more secure Joe Biden looks in his office. Honestly, she's extraordinary. I don't know how else to put it.
I agree with that, Liz, but I think that they actually, that was the intention of the Biden White House. Hey, let's send Kamala out there, stand in front of these buses and say, hey, we're gonna paint all our school buses green now. But it is absurd, especially coming, by the way, 2 days after we get these frighteningly abysmal test scores. And
right.
By the way, this is you want to talk about a national security issue. The decline and collapse of our schools is maybe the number one. We're not producing kids. They've lost a full year of schooling. And you look at these eighth graders, they can barely read, Larry. I mean, it is such a tragedy. Wake up, America. The teachers' unions are the biggest villain in America.
No,
I really believe that.
No way. It's climate change.
Well,
it's climate change.
That's what's wrecked these poor kids. In New York, they're mobilizing. How are they mobilizing last minute in an absolute panic to make sure that Hochul wins? They're getting the teachers' unions out. And that is what is so offensive about this union that we all pay for, but they are in the pocket of the Democrats, which is why Democrats will never go after this election issue, education issue. And by the way, when you look to 2024, let us put Trump on the sidelines. Hopefully he will be on the sidelines in 2024. I think candidates who can really speak to the American public about education, because that is not, it's not a social issue. It's an everybody issue. Someone like Glenn Youngkin, I think, is going to do very well pushing education as perhaps one of the top one or two issues.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, Liz. Trump may emerge as a really leading figure again.
He may. I don't disagree.
Can you wait until after the election?
No, I can. But I'm saying if these Senate candidates that he backed come home, I'm not making forecasts and I'm not predicting and I'm not pushing. I'm just saying empirically he's, backing 5, 6, 7 Senate candidates. And if a bunch of them win, it's going to play into his hands. That's all I'm saying.
I think that's true.
I know we're running out of time, but I got to make one last point on this, that, the Wall Street Journal had a great piece on this, that the Democrats really, when you think about it, they don't have any message right now. So first it was abortion, and that works with some women for sure, but it hasn't elevated to the top. And then obviously climate change is an issue they care about, and they desperately want to talk about Donald Trump. But this election is
never
not
about Trump.
About Donald Trump. So that's frustrated them to no end. And by the way, I want to say this. I appreciate that Donald Trump has kind of laid a low profile. Let the election play out, and then we can talk about the presidential
The problem with America is diesel-fueled school buses. Liz Peek and Steve Moore, thank you, kids. You're both fabulous. I'm Larry Kudlow, folks. We will see you next weekend.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.